Senate Republican president. He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. By the way, our interview is also live on Facebook. If you'd like to go to facebook.com/talkofct, that's Senate Republican President Len Fasano. Senator, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I gave you three.
A cheery morning for a storm coming. Yes, it's a good morning. Session's going to begin. We're off and running.
Well, that's, I suppose, good news, Senator, but I'm telling you, I'm looking what the Democrats proposed yesterday, and maybe they found some gold buried somewhere. It's incredible what the opposition party is proposing.
Well, I guess they may be one of the anonymity on the lottery winner, maybe, I think. I think that, look, everybody wants to help everybody, and you'd love to give free tuition to college folks or people are going for advanced degrees, having three children and paying for their college and their degrees. Sure, I would have loved to have free tuition for them. But the reality is, I don't know where this money is coming from. When we're telling seniors we are not going to give them more money for Medicaid, for reimbursement to doctors, so to open up that health world, we took back some of the renters rebate programs. We have disabled adults on these waiting lists for for decades, and then we're going to promise a whole group of people we're going to find more money just so you can roll it to 2018 and say those bad Republicans stopped us. That's just, it's wrong. You know, that's where you put politics before people, because you're making it sound like folks don't want to vote for that because they have a cold heart, when the fact is, no, we can't afford what the programs we have now. And until we fulfill those promises, why are we making additional promises? You know, family leave. Look, my daughter had a baby. She's in Florida. She's a nurse. She had to take a leave of absence from work. It was a difficult birth, but she had to take a leave of absence from work. So I appreciate, and without that income, I appreciate what family leave could do. But on the other hand, how are you going to make it work? And the state can't afford it. And if you ask employers to do it, that's going to be another burden we put on businesses in this state. And I heard the majority leader yesterday saying, well, the businesses want it because it will retain good employees. Well, the businesses, if they want it and they think it's good, they could do it. We don't stop them from doing it. If they believe that's a policy they want to have on their books to retain good employees, well, they can do it. What they're saying is, we know better than businesses, and we're going to mandate it, and that's the objection. So it is the type of thing that these are all really good ideas. We just simply can't afford it.
Let me ask you this, Senator. And this is something that everybody is asking. They really are. Are we going to have large tax increases?
I would say I don't know what's on Senator Looney's mind. It is my hope that we're not going to have large tax.
Why is he the one guy that decides what we're going to have?
Well, I think he was one guy that was deciding what we have. I think what we saw last session is perhaps not all of the Democrats share the same view as Senator Looney. And therefore, I'm not exactly sure that usually they come out and say, we're definitely doing this. And they didn't say that this time. So I'm not sure that if he and the Speaker of the House say this is what we want, that it's going to happen. We saw a much different scenario play out a year ago. So I'm not sure that those ideas of raising taxes across the board are real.
Well, and not only did you see some conservative Democrats push back, and you know this better than anybody, Senator, we finally saw what a two-party system looks like with the Senate evenly divided. The Republicans finally had a say in the game.
Exactly, and that's what I would suggest is going to come up this session. Look, I know that this is an agenda that they're playing to their base to get their base excited. But the problem is that it is you know, it's the old saying, it's like pie crust, easily made, easily broken promise. Because you just cannot do what they would like us to do because the money's not there. And to suggest that they can, and when they did their thing yesterday, it was, we're going to do family leave. We're not going to say who's paying for it. We're not going to say how much it costs. We have no numbers. We're just saying we would like to do it. We would like to pay for college tuition. We're not saying how much it costs. We're not saying who's going to pay for it. But we're going to whet the appetite of those who are paying that cost. Just to make these promises and throw them out there with no meat on the bones, not standing for anything, just this blanket statement, feel good to your base, I think is irresponsible. I got to be honest with you. I think, and in the same tone, Senator Looney says on another conversation that as far as the budget is concerned, I don't think we have to worry about the budget. We already have one. So what he's saying is we're going to fix the deficit for 2018. But for 2019, we're not going to do anything. So we're going to leave a hole for 2019? This is crazy. It's irresponsible. Yeah,
when are we going to get a feeling for it? Because the people, I mean, everywhere that I go, people talk about this. And they just don't know what they're doing over on the Hill.
Well, you know what? It was very interesting. A poll came out yesterday saying that in Connecticut, according to this poll, Governor Malloy is less popular than President Trump. And if you think about it, the Democrats who spoke yesterday are pushing the policies that I think Connecticut has said, look, we want to do these things, but we're broke, and we can't afford them. And although they're nice things to talk about, they're not realistic. And I think that message is getting out there, and your listeners have got to call and say, stop this nonsense. Fund what you promised us you would fund, and stop adding to your wish list. You can't be Santa Claus to everybody. There's just things that have got to stop.
You know what concerns me about that poll, though, Senator? That was done by SEIU, and it also showed 57% of people in Connecticut prefer tax hikes over service cuts. And so that poll I'm very concerned with because of who did the poll.
Did you know who did the poll, Senator? Hello? Is he still there?
I don't know.
Assuming it's even that slanted, Trump still did better than
he did. Yeah, no question. No question about that.
Can you imagine if it was a fair poll?
Right? It was a union poll. They did themselves.
Yeah. But anyway.
So that's how I look at it.
And I know, Senator, you're concerned, and hang in there because we're coming up on traffic. You're concerned about something else in regards to all this legislation coming up in the short session. So we'll get to that in just a moment, but I know we have a traffic update,
right,
Brad.
18 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. And Cindy, good morning, good morning, good morning again. And traffic with Cindy, and how is it right now? How do the roads look?
Well, Brad, 84 eastbound is jamming up from exits 30 out through 32. There's a crash in the left lane. It's a rollover as you approach Queen Street. The record does remain on scene. We're all right on Wilbercross Parkway, southbound on the Merritt, approaching exit 42. An accident has the right lane blocked up. Car went off the road into a tree, and so there is a entrapment, and the roadway is subject to closure in that area. No reports of any major problems on 91. Tap of the brakes into I-84. 691 eastbound is sluggish over Meriden Mountain. And there are flight delays and cancellations at Bradley International ahead of the storm, so check with your carrier. This report is brought to you by Compassion International. Every child is full of potential, but poverty will steal that potential from a child. You can change that when you go become a Compassion sponsor. Go to compassion.com/radio to sponsor a child now. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 834 with your last traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Thank you, Cindy. Bouvier Insurance. Yes, bringing you the traffic. I want to tell you something. If you're looking for insurance, I can send you to the place to go. I go there. They're tremendous. Bouvier Insurance.
Brad, joining us again in our Touchpoints Rehab interview, Chair, Senate Republican President Len Fasano. Senator, this is supposed to be the short session of the legislature, which starts today, meaning, as you know, that we focus on bills or issues related to the budget. But it seems that's not the case, and I know you're concerned about that. How about explaining it to our audience?
Sure. So, you know, The Democrats said yesterday, had a long session last year, and a lot of these proposals they brought up last year didn't make it to the floor because the budget consumed the building. We're in a short session, and we're only supposed to be dealing with budget-related items in a short session, adjusting the budget. And which means we end the first week of May. We start today, we end the first week of May, and we have a $200 million deficit for 18 and a $300 million-plus deficit for 19, and we have a short time to deal with it. So we have enough time to deal with all these public hearings, the potential of a public hearing for the Supreme Court Justice for the state of Connecticut, a very important position, and deal with the budget deficit, shows you that what this is political gamesmanship, that this is just to excite the base. They know that this is unrealistic agenda given the short time period. And if the leaders really want to solve Connecticut's fiscal problems, they've got to pay attention to keep their eye on the ball. And I'm very concerned that we are going to spend our time on these issues, not enough time on the budget. And as I said right before the last break, I think that there's a push by the majority in the for the House and the Democrats in the Senate to not fix 2019 and let it happen. For all I know, they may not want to fix 2018 and let the budget reserve fund that we have fix the hole for 18. Say, look, we got money in there, so let's not make those hard decisions. And at the end of the year, by statute, any money in our reserve account was still in the hole. And it scares me to think that they may be thinking of that. So there's a lot here, but I got to tell you, I think that they should be held accountable if they don't do a budget, push these other things on the agenda, and say, you know what, forget about our fiscal responsibilities. And I hope the voters hold them responsible in 2018 if that's the trail they take.
I can't believe that folks that are elected by the people, this is what drives me crazy, Senator, by the people, play these games when we have got to have savings. We have got to do something or we're going to be in the same boat that we've always been in. And I can't understand. And we're almost there as far as the number of candidates on both sides. So I don't see why they can't see the necessity to do this.
Because sometimes there are people in that building who believe it's politics before people. They have an agenda. No matter what the cost is to the state, it's politics. They're trying to ride this anti-Trump thing by putting ideas that they believe look like it's anti-Trump and pushing that through. That's what the game plan is. And when we do budgets, I've said this on your show and I'll say it again, we should not do budgets for elections. We should do budgets for generations. Because when you do budget for generations, you secure the future of the state. When you do budget for elections, you're just securing your own position. And by allowing, if they take the budget reserve to fill in 18 and don't touch 19, all they're doing is a budget for an election. They're not going to make the tough decisions, because they don't want to be held accountable. And if they make decisions that go against their base, which ultimately they would have to, they'll get their base upset and they won't get elected. So what they have to do is do a budget that they don't make tough decisions, let the rainy day fund fill in the hole, push their agenda that they know they probably don't have a lot of support for in both the House and the Senate, but then they can go on the campaign trail and say, Republicans blocked it, let's get rid of those bad Republicans. And it's politics before people. And I think the state's had enough of that. I think the state is smart enough, sees through it, and says, I want a healthy state. I want a state that doesn't run deficits every single year. I want a state that cares about our most vulnerable population. I want a state that's going to help our social services. I want a state that's going to keep the property taxes down by funding our municipalities the way they promised and funding education. That's the state I want. And what they want to do is push this progressive agenda because it's popular for their base. And unless people catch up to this tactic, we will have a dead state. It's not too late to change it. And that's what's going to happen this session. And people have got to get on phones and call their legislators and say, fix the fiscal problems, help our vulnerable,
Stop adding new programs when you can't even afford the ones you have. That's the message.
Senator, I know you're going live on Facebook this afternoon at 2 o'clock to have an interactive forum on tolls. How about talking about that?
So that's kind of scary to me, this whole thing about live on Facebook. this is sort of new for me. I've never done it before, so I don't know exactly what I'm getting into. But, yeah, 2 o'clock, I'm going to be live on Facebook talking about tolls, answering questions, because as I've talked on your show before, I think the toll issue is not really known because everyone thinks you can have border tolls. And as soon as people find out that you cannot have border tolls and that the toll income is 75% of that income is coming from us and the amount of roads that are going to be tolled, I think people have a different perspective. So I want to get on Facebook, Medium, which is a very popular thing, I'm told, and let people ask me questions. Give them the facts, let them make their decision, but give them the facts so at least they're making an informed decision based upon the facts. So they convinced me to do this. We're going to give it a shot. I don't know exactly what it's going to entail, but I look forward to it. So it's going to be a new experience. I was talking to my kids last night about it, and they were sort of impressed that I'm doing this. But so we'll give it a shot and see what happens.
Senator, a question. Are we going to have tolls? There are people out there that say we're not going to have tolls. Is that the truth or is it not?
I think that the House has only promised to vote on tolls. I don't know if they said that very delicately. They didn't say we're going to pass it in the House. They said we're going to have a vote on it. So I don't know what the House numbers look like. I do think in the Senate right now, my guess is, that there are not enough votes to get tolls passed in the Senate, but that's a preliminary guess. Yes. Now, if transportation somehow miraculously, when it's in committee, does a very detailed report and shows us exactly where the tolls are, how much they're going to charge, what's the cost, all these details I've been asking for, which I don't think they can do because according to the commissioner, it's a two-year study, so I don't think they're able to do it in 2 months. But maybe that will shed a different light on it, but I don't think that's going to happen. Right now, if the vote was taken, I don't think it passes the Senate. I don't know about the House. It'll be a close vote, but I don't think it passes.
Well, we got to beat it. We got to beat it. The people have got to call their representatives. We've got to knock off the tolls. Absolutely.
Well,
I said this before. This is really a mileage tax. Because if you are going to toll every 5 miles on 95, 91, and you're going to toll every state road, and you're going to toll the Mara Parkway, or virtually every state road, and what the commissioner said was this, and this is a quote, Connecticut will have more tolls than any other state in the country. If that is true, then we're pretty close to a mileage tax, in my view.
Well, and it's the first step towards a real mileage tax if we get tolls. But, Senator, shouldn't this issue, I mean, it's such an important issue when it comes to tolls, shouldn't this issue be decided by a new governor and a new legislature?
You know, I think you make a great point. I never really thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. One thought process is tolls can't go in for 5 years, so I guess a governor with a new legislature can reverse this action. But that being said, it's tougher to reverse than it is to implement, because then you got to take existing law and get rid of it. But it's a good thought process that we may have a new commissioner. Although I like the DOT commissioner, you may have a new commissioner who may have a different way of approaching this. I think that the problem with Governor Malloy is if it isn't his idea, it's not a good idea, and that's why Republicans have put forth prioritized progress. And I think that there's some folks who know transportation who have an interest in that. That's no tolls, no new taxes, and billions of dollars towards Connecticut infrastructure. And I don't think that got a real good look by this governor. And frankly, it didn't because it wasn't his idea and probably because it's a Republican's idea. And I don't think he has any use for Republicans in my view.
Senator, so, good luck. Good luck when you're out there before the millions
on Facebook.
Thank you very much.
And today.
I may need it.
We'll be watching. Senator, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Take care.
You bet. He's a good man.
Senate Republican President Len Fasano.